Thank you, Michael. And thank you for coming. It's a, I shared a little bit this last year, but, the first time I stepped foot in Atlanta was in August of 1977. And my wife and I were the branch coordinators of Atlanta. And we were here for a year, and then we finished our Way Corps training. And then following that, my wife and I were the limb coordinators of Georgia for 3 years until 1982. And I remember when I got my assignment for the Way Corps, that we would be limb coordinators overseeing the state of Georgia. I didn't really get it. I didn't know why I would be allowed to do that. And so I asked Dr. Victor Paul Werwell. I said, because he said, if anybody has a problem with the assignment, I had a problem. I didn't know. I don't know how to run a limb. I barely can get up in the morning. I didn't know, And he said two things to me. He said, one, can you pray? And I said, yes, sir, I can pray. And he said, can you believe? I said, yes, sir, I can believe. And ever since that time, I do my very best to do those two things. There's a lot of things in my life that are missing that you are really much better at than I am. And I thought of tonight in light of years later coming to Atlanta, praying that this would be a good place to send people again. And I was sitting on a bench in Piedmont Park, and I may have told this, that I don't care. When you're my age, you repeat yourself a lot. And I saw not just Atlanta, I saw the entire Southeast region coming together on God's word. And look at this. I don't know how many states are represented. You got Alabama, you got Mississippi, you got the North Kakalaki, you got Florida, you got Illinois, you got New Jersey. Do we have New York? No New York. Well, that's good. Keep them out of it. What else? What other places, Mike? Kentucky? Well, who's from Kentucky? Vicente's from Kentucky. My wife's from Kentucky. Where else? Anyone? Virginia? Where? Rhode Island?
Texas.
That's 10 different states right there. I said it, but I said North Kakalaki. I'm sorry. I was just kidding. So 10 states. Anybody here from a different country? No? Estados Unidos. Hey! Well, thank you for coming. Good night. If you want to take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's where we're going to start. The title of this is, I can't reach my neck, Standing on the Promises of What? What is a promise? A promise is a declaration that someone will do something that is specified. Someone will do something that's specified. It also means to provide what is said. Well, God is not a man that he should what? He doesn't lie. God never lies. Jesus Christ said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Did Jesus Christ lie? He couldn't have, because he was tempted in all ways, yet without what? So, right off the bat, to provide what is said. We're talking in terms of God, not me. Because I might say something and I might not come through. Because you know why? All men are liars. Maybe not intentionally. Oh, even you righteous ones. Because if somebody tells you a lie, and you believe it, and you repeat the lie, it's still a what? Right. But that's not what we're going to talk about. Tonight, I want to share on, we are what God's word says we are. We have what God's word says we have, and we will be what God's word says we will be. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll get there. You're already there, aren't you? Yeah. Verse 12, it says, now we have received, and that means received in the manifestation, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And the reason, when you see that word that, is that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God wants, the reason we have spirit is so he can know what we have spiritually, that we've been given freely. It's not of works of righteousness. It's not by your works that you get anything done ever. You might think you do. That's a waste of time. But we are what God's word says we are. So the first place I want to go is 1 John. It says, I want to share we are what God's word says we are, and we are sons of God. Well, are we?
Yes.
Okay. We need some enthusiasms here. Everybody stand up. Hey, let's go. I'm tired of this already. Hug your neighbor quick and mean it. Hug your neighbor quick. Terry, hug your neighbor quick. Let's go. Hug him up. Yeah, there you go. All right. Oh, nice. All right, be seated. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, behold, the word behold means look at. Look at. Not just glance, look at. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of what? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now, once we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe God raised him from the dead, we were saved. At that very moment, we were saved. Sons of God. It's tremendous truth. It's tremendous truth. It sure is. Yeah. Let's go to Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 2. Hey, I understand some of you guys traveled today. So this is going to be a 15-minute teaching. And I just proved all men are liars. It says in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, the sons of what? Without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverted nation. Look, we're sons of God. You know, I got in fist fights as a kid when somebody said something bad about my dad. And I would never let anybody say anything bad about my dad. Nor would he ever let anybody say anything bad about his son. What about sons of God? We're sons of God, the one that created the heavens and the earth. We are his sons. Wow, that's pretty cool. We are also redeemed. We're redeemed. If you want to go to Romans chapter 3, that's where we're headed. We're redeemed. Redeemed means we're paid for. We're paid for. Redeemed means paid for. It means to be bought with a price. It costs God his only begotten son. That's quite a price. It also means delivered from sin. It means free from guilt. We are what God's word says we are. See, these are things that God promises us that we are. We are redeemed. Act like it. 3, verse 24 of Romans, and says something. It says, being justified freely by the grace, his grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. We're justified freely by God's grace. Man, oh man. through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. So we're sons and we're redeemed. We're redeemed. Verse 30 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Hey, you know what has so much to do with a lot of things? Motive. Like, why are we here? Are we here because we want to be blessed by God and His Word? I think so. Look at verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We're redeemed. We have it. We've been paid for. We've been bought with the price. We have been freed from guilt. What an incredible privilege that is. So we're redeemed. We're sons of God. And we're righteous. We're righteous. We're righteous. The ability to stand before our Heavenly Father without any sense of guilt, sin, or condemnation. We're free, man. We're free from guilt. We're free from condemnation. We can stand before God without any of that junk. And it means a right state with God. We're at right state with God. We're righteous. We're still in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. It says again, but of Him, verse 30, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. See that? We're righteous. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. When I first heard these truths of God's word in 1971, I was blown away that I could have a life that was free from all the junk that I put on my own head or that the other people put on me. I didn't have to live that way anymore. I was righteous. God made me righteous. You know why? Because He wanted to. He loves us. He cares for us. He cherishes us as His kids. You wouldn't let anybody put a guilt trip on your kid. Neither does our Father. That's why He's made us righteous. Romans 5, verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Yeah. Even so, and this is even better, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Wow. We're justified. We're righteous. Man, we're redeemed. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, that's Adam, so by the obedience of one, that's Jesus Christ our Savior, shall many be made righteous. That's you and me. He made us this way. We are what God's word says we are. We are righteous right now. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. We're working this night with God Almighty, so that the rest of the weekend can be just the best. And you'll work as hard as you need to. We may be here till 1. Pack a lunch. Verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. God made Jesus Christ to be sin. Who knew no sin? Jesus didn't know any sin. Why? Why? The word that means purpose. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That we might be made the righteousness of God. I don't honestly understand that because I do not understand how righteous God is. But however righteous God is, He's made us this way. So let's enjoy that. It's enjoyable being righteous. I'm righteous. Another thing we are is we're complete. Go to Colossians chapter 2 if you'd like to. Colossians 2. But I brought my guitar, I'd have sung this song. It's a great song. Fantastic. The words are, I am completely, 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 complete. I am completely, completely, complete in him. That's it. That's the whole song. Verse 10, it says, for, and ye are complete in him. We are complete. It's, we are what the word says. We are complete. Complete means to be fully furnished. Means to be fully furnished. Absolutely nothing missing. Nothing missing. It means filled to the top. God has made us complete. There's nothing missing. Now, Jerry Carr, the human being, there's a lot missing there. But spiritually, having being a son of God and what God has wrought in Christ for us and in us freely and promised us, we are complete. There is nothing missing. Nothing. Another thing we are is we're sanctified. Sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart. If you want to go to Romans, we'll go there, chapter 15. But to be sanctified means to be set apart. And this is cool. It means to deliver from a former state. Our former state, before getting born again, was we were without God, without hope in this world. It also says we were dead in trespasses and sins. So we had no hope. We were dead as a doornail spiritually. We had nothing. The Italians say un gats. I think. So to deliver from a former state, we're delivered, we're set apart from this former state of death, for this former state of hopelessness. And we are set apart to God Almighty. Romans 15, verse 16. It says, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We're sanctified, sanctified, sanctified by God. It's pretty cool. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. You know, the power of God still works. You know, I got to pray for somebody today, and boy, it was just so cool. Healed. See, God doesn't mess around. 1 Corinthians 6:11. It says, and such were some of you, but you were are washed. But ye are sanctified. You are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. We're justified. We're sanctified. We're sanctified. We're set apart from this crazy world to God. You know, many of you have been in the Word a long time, and you have heard these scriptures, and you know these truths. But to emphasize them again is okay with God, I think. How many times in manifestation has God told us he loved us? Do you think that's because God is ignorant? Well, that leaves one of us. We just need to be told that God loves us, that he cares for us, that he's given us his word, and that his word is truth. That's just great. So, 1 Corinthians 1 again, verse 30. This verse comes up a lot because there's a lot in it. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness. There it is, sanctification. We're sanctified. We're set apart from poo head to God. Try that, Milagros. But we are. And another thing we are is we are justified. And you could read that right in that same verse. Oh, no, it's not in that verse. We'll have to go somewhere else. Romans 4. Romans 4, verse Romans chapter 4. I remember learning this stuff and going, man, oh man, oh man. I needed this in my life. I needed to know that God loved me. I needed help. I needed something in my life, a void in my life that was God. I needed a void in my life filled that was genuine friendship, companionship with other believers. I needed to know people loved me. I needed that in my life. I still need that in my life. And God has supplied so bountifully to us. We're justified. And one of these great definitions was just as I've never sinned. And that's kind of how it is. Justification means to be set forth as righteous and fulfill all the claims that are right. And it's a right state. Romans 4 verse 25 says, who was delivered for our offenses, for our sins, and raised again for our justification, or when we were justified. Verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God, because we're justified. Because we're justified, we can have peace. Wow. Verse 16 in the same chapter. It says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to the condemnation. But the free gift, and that's what we got, a free gift, is of many offenses unto justification. We're justified. We're justice. We never sin. Another thing we are, you can go to Romans 8, is we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Super duper duper conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Look, I don't like what we're doing these days with children where they go on these teams, a soccer team, a baseball team, a football team. Everybody plays the same amount of time. Everybody's a winner. Nobody loses. That's not life. Man, when I play the game, I want to win, dang it. I don't want everybody's, come on, I'm going to win. That's me. We're more than conquerors. And that means to have victory beyond measure. To have victory beyond measure. So not just victory, it's like crazy good victory beyond what you could even think. You win. Even if we have a screwed up rest of our life, we still win because we're going home. And you know what? You guys that might have problems with other believers will have no problems at the gathering. Everybody's going to get along. Everybody's going to love each other and like each other. You're going to go on the swings to the heavenly swings and eat pizza together. That'll be great. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He loved us. For I'm persuaded. And to be persuaded means you're absolutely convinced. There's no guessing. You know. Beyond a shadow, and I don't care what our malady is, what our problems are, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'm persuaded, Paul was persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of the God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And these are all circumstances that transpire oftentimes with people. Yeah. Death, that happens. Life, that's really hard. Death's not that hard. Angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height or depth, nothing can be able to separate us. Nothing, nothing, nothing. So don't let anything separate us from the love of Christ. A God which is in Christ Jesus. We are what the Word of God says we are. And the Word of God says right here, right there in that verses, those verses, that we're more than conquerors. We're super conquerors. Beyond measure conquerors. Another thing we are is we're reconciled.
2 Corinthians again. That Corinthians is loaded with them. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. We're reconciled. It means we're brought back from the adversary's clutches. It means it's change on the part on one as a result of the action of another one. The action of another one was Jesus Christ. His action was he lived, died, ascended, rose and ascended into heaven. He paid the full price. That's why we can be brought back from the adversary's clutches. It's change on the part of one as a result of the action of another one. We're changed because of what Jesus Christ did. We're changed because of that. We're not the same people we used to be before we had God. We're not. I have the same personality that I've always had, but I'm different because of what God wrought in Christ for me and in me. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Not only are we reconciled, he's given us a ministry to reconcile others. Holy moly. The responsibility and the privilege we have as sons of God, regardless of our age or gender, is mammoth. We have the privilege of getting people brought back from the devil's clutches by getting them born again of God's Spirit. You could never do anything greater for anybody in your life than to help assist someone to get born again of God's Spirit. To wit, that God was in Christ, verse 19, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We're reconciled, we're reconciled. Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 20, it says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and ye that were sometimes alienated and enemies," and that's another state that we were. Before we were born again, we were enemies of God. We were aliens to God. We were like, it's what it says. "Sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled." When we were born again of God's Spirit, he reconciled us. And you know what? God isn't like humans are. God doesn't give you something and then take it away. Religion teaches that. If you're good enough, you're going to get this. Not our Heavenly Father. We could blow it like crazy for 15 years and believe him in one moment of time and he will bless you. Not because of how you screwed up, but because you believed him, you trusted him, and he came through. Look at the Word of God. How many people made it without blowing it? So why would you think you don't ever blow it? Why would I think I never blow it? Why would I point fingers at others for blowing it and hold it against them for the rest of their lives? That's not our God. Our God loves us. He's reconciled us, says so. So those are some of the things we are. We are saved. We're sons of God. We're redeemed. We're complete. We're sanctified. We're justified. We're righteous. We're more than conquerors. We're reconciled. Man, oh man, those are a lot of things. And that isn't all the things we are. There's a lot of other things like God's masterpiece, and you can go on. But number two, we have what God's word says we have. We have what God's word says we have. We are what God's word says we are. We have what God's word says we have. Go to Colossians. We are in Colossians chapter 1. We have Christ in us. That's just incredible. From the top of our head to the tip of our toes, we have Christ in us. Holy Spirit is in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, it says so. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have Christ in us. We have what the Word of God says we have. We have Christ in us. That's a promise from God. That's a promise for God. It's not how many scriptures you know, nor how many people you witness to, or how great you tithe or abundantly share. It's not into that. We got Christ in us because of God. That's why we got it. And we have salvation. You all know Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you want to go there, you can. But it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We have salvation. We are saved. And that word saved, as many of you know, it means we're made whole. We're made whole. You know, these are all promises. We're made whole. God made us whole. At the time of getting born again, we were whole. For those of you who've been around a while, I'm sure you've noticed when people get in the Word, they look different. They look better. They just look more gorgeous or more handsome. That something is alive inside of them that was never alive before, and that's God and Christ in them. And contrary-wise, we go out and we see people who aren't born again, and they just look dead. Some of you saw Willie Nelson recently. you know, Jamie came home and said, I think he looked dead. But he's earned it, old Willie and his bus. He's earned it. So we also have the love of God. We have salvation, and we have the love of God. Now, that's something that my very first fellowship took me out. I didn't know what it was. I had no clue. I'm sitting there, and there was something different. People came up to me and hugged me and told me they loved. I didn't know these people. February 13th, 1971. And I was just, I didn't get it. It took a few days to realize what I felt in my heart was love. And I was like, oh God, I want to be like this. I want to be able to help somebody. I want to be able to do this. What is it? Is that? I thought it was a gathering. But if it was, we missed it. wow, that was interesting. But we have the love of God. 1 John 2. And I think that you know that too. That's probably one of the reasons you're in the Word. I know that my first fellowship, thank God, the person teaching, who was Dr. Werwell, taught on the Word of God, and I understood it. I never understood it. I went to church my whole life until then. I used to go to church all the time. Matter of fact, I went to the Catholics. I went to the Baptists. I went to the Presbyterians. I went to the Episcopalians even. I even went to a Jewish synagogue because I was searching. And then here he does. He teaches on John chapter 9 about the man that was born blind from his birth. And I understood it. That was the first. The second thing, I saw love. The third thing, I saw people get healed, ministered to, healed. I was like, man, I am down for this. I want this in my life. Chapter 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. We have the love of God. God gave us his love. For chapter 4. Verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another. It doesn't say, let us love one another who agrees with us. Does it? Then why do you think everybody has to agree with you? You don't. Let us love one another, for God is of love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is what? He's love. And this was, and we have God in Christ where? So we have the love of God in us. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why? So that we could live, we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. That's the big deal. You know, you can go, I love God. Well, why wouldn't you love God? Why wouldn't you love someone who never lied to you? Why wouldn't you love someone who would back up every time what he says? Yeah, that's, you know, herein is love, not that we love God. That's not the big deal. But that he loved a stinker like me and sent his son to be the propitiation, the down payment, full payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to what? Love one another. Amen. Your postman, the guy at the gas station, the guy at the grocery store, everybody, you know, just love everybody. Just love people. Okay? Just love people. Why not? We've got God and Christ in us. I like my mailman, especially when it's that cute girl that carries the thing. Really like her. No, just kidding. Not really. So we have the love of God. We have it. And, you know, I could share for hours on what love is, but the love of God and renewed mind and manifestation, we have that inside of us. We have that ability all the time to love. And it's when we walk in love, we're the most blessed, and so are the people around us. Another thing we have is peace. Romans 5, you can go to. Peace. Peace means rest. Peace is the absence of all strife. Peace is undisturbed, untroubled well-being. And it's the result of forgiveness enjoyed. It's the result of forgiveness enjoyed, and that's a pretty good one. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Romans said, and we read this before, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. We have what the Word of God says we have. We have peace. It says so right there. That's what makes it true. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. You know, being a Christian is also a lot of fun. I enjoy my life. If I didn't, I'd do something where I could enjoy it. But I'm enjoying my life. I like living. I like living. I enjoy it. I enjoy the challenges that God can overcome. I enjoy the victories that we see. I enjoy watching people grow in God's Word. That's the greatest thing I have. There's nothing greater for me than to see people grow in God's Word. And Michael said, you know, I've known a lot of you for a long time. Some of you since the day you were born, Chris. You know. Yeah, that was quite a day. Chapter 2, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make of in himself of twain one new man, so making what? Peace, man. I grew up in the land of peace and love and tie-dye and right near where Steve grew up in California. And, you know, that was good when all the hippies came there. And it was like, peace, man, peace. And it was good for like a half a minute. And then drugs just went crazy. They had no foundation to peace and love. They didn't have the Word of God. It was an idea. It was an emotion that was beautiful. But the adversary slammed it down and destroyed it. He can't do that to us because we're more than what? So we have the right to have this peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that right. Go to Philippians chapter 4. And, you know, there's so many things that we have and there's so many things that God has given. Perhaps this is one of the greatest things that I needed in my life was peace. I just was And, you know, you might say, well, you still are, but you should have seen me then. But I was always wired. I was always just, and I could never relax. I just couldn't do it. I didn't know how to do it. And, man, when I found out about this whole peace business from God, I was like, oh, my God, this is great. It's just the most awesome thing to be able to sit down and in my heart have no strife. Know that I'm totally forgiven, that there's no anxiousness, it's absence of all that junk, strife. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing. And most of you know that that word careful means, you know, don't be overly concerned, don't be anxious, don't be worried, don't be nervous about it. Be anxious for nothing. Well, that's quite a thing to say. But, and the word but sets in what? Contrast, being anxious in everything by prayer, and supplication, and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto who? Oh, man. And look at this next verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, peace with God that passes all understanding. You know, praying, being thankful, supplicating to God is that gateway to a wonderful, peaceful life. Pray much. Shall keep your hearts. That word keep means it's like the old guards. They used to protect any outside influences from coming into their castle or whatever they had. I don't know what they had. Didn't keep people from going out, but it kept all the crap, all the devilish stuff, people or whatever, kept them out. Shall keep your hearts and minds. God, what a promise. What a promise. And what a premise. Pray. Supplicate. Be thankful. God, if you had the worst day in your life, you could still be thankful that you got life. Another thing we have, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have 9 manifestations. You don't think about that enough. We don't think about it enough. We have 9 manifestations. 9 of them. Different evidences on how to manifest God's Spirit in our lives. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. If he's given us the manifestations, if I gave Chris this book, take it. So, thank you. If I gave him the book, now he has it. He's been given it. If God's given us the manifestations, then we have them. He's given them to us. Here, take them. What are they? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healings, tongues with interpretation, prophecy. Good Lord. And it's all, well, we'll read the section. Well, we'll read verse 11. But all of these 9 manifestations worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the person, wills. If we will to operate all 9 manifestations, we will. And that's to be able to know stuff that's humanly impossible for your senses to know anything. It's to be able to know what to do once you've been given that information. It's be able to know what's going on spiritually wherever you are. Working in miracles, just bam, quick. Healings. What do you want? Pizza? I want those manifestations. Well, I don't need to want them because I have them. I have all 9, so do you. And we can operate as many as we desire to operate because God is God. So we have the nine manifestations. Another thing we have is we have overcome the adversary. 1 John. We've overcome the adversary. That's a pretty incredible thing. We have overcome the adversary. How do I know this? Because verse 4 of chapter 4 says, ye are of who? God, little children. And by the way, in the operation of the utterance or worship manifestations, when you hear them like you did tonight, God never says, my developed son of God. It's usually my little children, my loved ones. He's our daddy. We don't need to be all that smart. You know why? Because he is. He knows it all. What do we know compared to knowing it all? I don't know anything. But I know that it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the context being devil spirits, because greater is he that is in you. Who's in us? Christ is in us. Christ is in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The one who runs the world is the adversary. God has made us, he's given us, we have the ability to overcome the adversary. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Boy, that's a great one to remember. It's a great one to remember. We're of God. We're of God. Why? Not because of our good looks or our good works. None of that. And another thing we have is grace. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. We're almost done, about an hour left. Ephesians 2. Do you know one of the greatest medicines there is? Laughter. Get over yourself. Oh, remember this one? This has nothing to do with anything. This one we used to say in school. You'd say to somebody, you want to fight? And they say, no. You're going to run? No. Then how are you going to catch me? See? All right. Well, Ephesians 2, verse 4. Thank you, Rosie. This is such a huge verse. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it's the gift of what? It's by grace that we're saved. It's by grace that we live. It's by grace that we'll be gathered. It's all by grace. Not of works, verse 9 says, lest any man should boast. Because we have this grace, look at chapter 4. This is amazing to me. And you all know, well, maybe you don't. Grace is a kind, affectionate, pleasing nature. A kind, affectionate, pleasing nature. It's an inclining disposition. It's undeserved divine favor. So this grace, this kind, loving nature is the reason we're saved. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 4, look at this one, man. Verse 29, let no corrupt or putrid communication proceed out of your mouth, but instead of that kind of crummy communication, but that which is good to the use of edifying, to the use of building up. Why? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. I can't tell you how deep that is. That we have the privilege of being ministers of God's grace. We can minister this undeserved divine favor to people, this inclining disposition, this loving kindness, you know. We get to do that. And that's an awesome privilege, a really awesome privilege. And you know, it's interesting to me, you can read the whole Bible and you go through all the Old Testament. Old Testament starts with Genesis. And it ends in that Italian book, the book of Malachi. Malachi, right? And then you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and who? John. All right. So you got all, do you know that not one of those books starts with grace? Every single church epistle starts with this grace. And if holy men of God moved as they were, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and if all scripture is given by inspiration of God, then God wanted, this wasn't the patent thing, you know, dear son's grace. No, because it was never even talked about. God told them every time, Romans, grace. Corinthians, grace. Galatians, grace. Ephesians, grace. Philippians and the rest of them. Grace, grace, grace. Hey. Boy, that should make some sort of impact on our minds. And we have grace. It's amazing. Another thing we have is forgiveness. Forgiveness. 1 John 1. You ever get in an argument? No, huh? That's pretty good. You're better than me. You ever do something wrong? Somebody ever do something wrong to you? Yes. You ever gotten hurt by people? I never remember like a sparrow hurting me, or a pheasant, or a cow. You? You must have a strange communication then. But people can get hurt. And when they house the hurt, so sometimes they get angry, and then they get hurt, and then they get bitter. And so many times that bitterness turns into apathy, where you just don't care anymore. What a horrible way to live. God didn't intend us to live that way. Look at 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Now, okay, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what about the person that sinned against you? Don't they have the same privilege to confess their sins and be forgiven by God? When you live that way, you hold no bitterness against anyone ever. You let it go. And if you don't let it go, that's on you, and that's sin. So, that's a pretty incredible verse, I would say. It's a big one. You know, in the Old Testament, even, God says in his word that he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. But see, it goes further than just my sin. He casts everybody's sin as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no what? If Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, be ye followers of God as his dear children, and that means imitators, then we need to imitate God when it comes to forgiveness. God ought to have died a long time ago if I didn't forgive people, or if people didn't forgive me for the stupidity and some of the stupid things I've said or done, or both. There's plenty. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another. So does that just apply to the people you like that are believers? Or does that apply to every single believer? Well, four of you think that every single believer. The rest of you can catch up because it applies to everyone. Even the person that did you so dirty. Be ye kind, and it's available to do. It's I'm living proof. Be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. One thing we have, forgiveness. We've been forgiven. And because we have, we forgive. And another, you know, if you break that word down, it's for giving. You're not giving when you hold things back, when you hold things in, when you're bitter and you're hard and you're mean and you can't. Nah, you're in bondage when you're like that. I'd like to read a quote from Dr. Werwell on forgiveness. Now listen up, everybody. Forgiveness means I will freely restore the forgiven to his former state before the wrongdoing occurred, and that I will not dwell on the error nor bring it up in any future situations. It is a promise I make to the one seeking forgiveness. It's fantastic. The importance of this promise lies in knowing that once a wound has been cleaned out, it must be allowed time to heal. To reopen it only endangers the healing, and it presents the possibility of a new infection. As time passes on in God's love, the memory of any hurt that is indeed forgiven fades to insignificance. Boy, it's fantastic truth, man. Forgiveness is one of the greatest things God has given us. Thirdly, we will be what God's word says we'll be. Go to 1 Corinthians 51. 15, that'd be a new one. Chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Chapter 15. Oh, I got a message from Lance. That's great. Chapter 15. We'll be what God's word says we'll be. Chapter 15, verse 51, and this is referring to the gathering together. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, it's like in an atom, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It doesn't seem right, but keep reading. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin's in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. The word victory means the overcoming of an enemy in any contest. It means conquest. It means triumph. It means it's the opposite of defeat. It's victory, victory, victory. Thanks be to God for the victory. What victory? The gathering together. And that's how you can be beloved, brethren. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. No matter what, you might feel like you aren't appreciated or something like that. So what? Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to knock some ear balls, I think I heard somebody say. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh, he's coming back, man. I don't know when, neither do you. But when he comes, it's going to be quite a day. Free pizza and beer for everybody. Everybody gets free pizza. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant. And that means God wants us smart. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope, no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, we do. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord means by revelation, revelation. God told him what to say. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, which means go before to precede them which are asleep, those who have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Wow, I love that. Those people, let's say if Jesus Christ came back tonight, which would be nice, all those who had died that were born again would rise first. I just think that's so loving of God. You know, let them wake up and be first. I love it. Some of you scholars probably know more about it than I do, but I just think it's pretty cool. He shall descend from heaven with a shout. Dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are still alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you know, at the gathering together, God is not going to have a section for Roman Catholics. Well, they go here, Baptists over here, Methodists here, Christian Science, maybe they're not there. You know, I don't know. But there's none of that stuff because there's no respecter of persons. Anybody who's born again, we're going to be together. We're going to be together. And that's why things like these events should be the closest thing to the gathering together. We should be happy. We should be blessed. We should be hugging each other, praying for each other. We should be laughing our heads off because God is so good and he's called us mutts into God's family. That's amazing. That's amazing to me. Still amazing to me. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Wow, you can't get much more comforting than that. Go to Revelation. Yes, Revelation. Chapter 21. I love this section of Revelation. Chapter 21. And verse 1 through 4 of Revelation 21. Yep. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and earth, that's the former earth, were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's beautiful. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Gosh, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And look what else God says he'll do. He'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We certainly have a lot to be thankful for. We certainly have a lot to look forward to. 1 Thessalonians. And we have that as a promise that Jesus Christ is coming back. 1 Thessalonians chapter something, 5, verse 17, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. It means to be delighted or pleased in God forever. It says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To be genuinely thankful, you got to be thankful to someone for something. We're thankful to God for the hope. We're thankful to God for the family of God. We're thankful for the Christ in us and all that stuff. We are what God's word says we are. We have what God's word says we have, and we're going to be what God's word says we'll be. So let's continue to be thankful for all things that God has freely given us, that God has promised us. We are what God's word says we are. We have what God's word says we have, and we'll be what God's word says we shall be. Thank you. Bless you.